verses that I'm going to read, I referred to them earlier on in the week. John chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 44 and then read verse 65, if you'll notice with me. In John chapter 6. I've often, before I read these verses, I've often thought about people, you know, they say, I don't know what they're thinking yet, but they'll say sometimes, say, why don't you preach like Jesus preached? Say, you read that sixth chapter of the book of John, you'll see how Jesus preached. And that's not exactly what they mean by that. When they say that, they want you to deviate from the Word of God and to go in some of the humanistic ideas or thoughts that prevails today. John chapter 6 and verse 44 says this: no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 65 says, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. I want to preach tonight on the subject of Holy Spirit conviction. Holy Spirit conviction. There's a great religious movement today. That's all it is. You don't meet anybody ain't got religion. There's a great religious movement today. It is a movement of Satan to make the world religious without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what it is. You can hear it on your radio. You can see it on your television. And you can hear it in the average so-called church today. A religious movement. I don't know of a day when people have ever been any more religious than they are today. But this religious movement, whereby Satan would have the world to be religious without the Lord Jesus Christ, it has no depth. It has no lasting results. For it's a revival of religion being conformed to the world. And that's exactly what it is. They don't come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But they become very religious and not are conformed to Christ, but they're conformed to the world. The way the world acts. The way the world looks. The way the world dresses. The way the world, where the world goes. Now that's the great religious movement that is on today. The problem is, many Baptist churches have married the world. Now there's the problem. And any time that a Baptist church marries the world, what else can you expect? But to have a religion that will not be conformed to Christ, but that will be conformed to the world. Brother, what you do, you lose your power. You lose your effectiveness. You lose your witness. You take back several years now. I think you can remember back, and you know how that somehow or other preachers and Baptist churches got the idea to gain people and win people, you've got to conform to some of their ideas and some of their ways. Now, that's not a doctrine you find in the Bible. That's not a doctrine that Jesus taught. That's not a doctrine that Paul taught. And that's not a doctrine that the Apostle Peter taught. I believe that churches today are reaping what they've sown. But we know that is a biblical principle. So many Baptist churches have married the world. What they have done, they have brought in all of the worldly methods and plans that the world has to do the Lord's work. Now, God has a method and God has a plan. And it's right here in the book. It's in the Word of God. And it never changes from one age or one generation to another. It's the same during New Testament day. It's the same during our day. And if the Lord doesn't come, or even when He does come, it'll be the same when the Lord comes. Same thing New Testament church at Jerusalem and other New Testament churches did is the same thing that we do today. And that we're to be practicing today. I'm talking about not only doctrine, but I'm talking about methods that we use. Carrying the gospel and winning the lost. And edifying the body of Christ and seeing folks that are backslidden revived. The same method. Evangelistic work, so called, in these churches today, that is, that have brought in worldly methods and plans, these churches, it is just usually a show. That's all it is. It's just a show. They have the ex-prize fighter. They have the ex-nightclub singer. They have the ex-dope peddler. They have the ex-drunk. And that's what they publicize and they talk about those things. I know that God, by His marvelous grace, saves people that are drunk. But He saves them out of it. And I know that He saves nightclub singers, but He saves them out of it. I know that He saves country music stars, but He saves them out of it. And I believe today these are methods. Now, these same churches, they have the weightlifter in. They have the star basketball or baseball player. They have the movie star in to tell them about Jesus Christ. Brother, let me tell you something. I believe that the Lord not only saves your soul, but He saves your life. And I believe in the process of saving a person's life, that there are certain things that they push out of their life, whereby that they can bring honor and glory to the Lord. Now, this is all done to draw a crowd from the world into the church. But let me tell you something. The result, see, is I believe this, the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. Now, that's a strong statement, but I believe that. The Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. What motivates preachers and churches to do such things? What is their motivation? What is their purpose? What is their plan? What do they have in their mind when they do such a thing? You answer. Don't think I'm going to answer it. You answer. I believe I know. And I don't believe you're that ignorant that you don't know what's behind that kind of a thing. Now, the results, I believe the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it, and the decisions which come as a result of this show religion, and there's always decisions. The decisions which come as a result of the show manifest no signs whatsoever of Holy Spirit conviction. I tell you, some churches had rather have a movie on Sunday night than they had rather have the preaching of the Word of God. I get so frustrated and aggravated when I hear people talking about that such and such church had a movie and they had so many decisions for Christ. I believe that's exactly what I'm preaching about here tonight. I believe that. God never intended for His churches to be turned into movie houses. Never intended for that to happen. The Lord intended for His churches to do the same thing that the church at Jerusalem did. To have the same methods that the church at Jerusalem, the church at Antioch, and all the other churches had. And that is that people are saved by the foolishness of preaching, through the preaching of the gospel. He never designed it any other way. Brother, I'll tell you, we're living in a time that some churches have married the world. And you know, people get all excited. I had a little girl not long ago come up one Sunday morning. She was all excited. And you know, bless her little heart, I cried. I preached about it that night in my church and I cried. Because what happened is her grandparents are backslidden. You know, they still come to church, but they're backslidden. Her mother's backslidden. Her daddy's not saved. Her aunt's backslidden. Matter of fact, she's different from church. The whole kit and caboodle's backslidden. But they come to church maybe once a week on Sunday morning. And this little girl came up to me and she was so excited. Somehow or other, on the night before, she had gone to hear a Christian rock group. I cried. It wasn't her fault. Whose fault it was her backslidden mother. And it was her backslidden grandparents. That's whose fault it was. And I thought this little young girl, just a sweet little girl. But she thought that was the thing to do. And that's exactly what many churches today are permitting and letting happen and letting go on. People get all excited about something as long as it's painted up like the world. But I tell you, same people that get that excited, you come in and you hear the great old hymns of grace. Don't do a thing for them. You couldn't get an amen out of them. You couldn't get them excited at all. You take them off some word of what they call Christian rock and they'll jump up and down and say, that's the best thing that ever happened for our young people. But it shows you how little that people know, and it shows you how far that our church is many times, and our church don't agree with this, and I don't agree with it. Don't get me wrong. But I believe it proves a point. Worldly methods. Now, the decisions which come as a result of this show type of religion manifest no signs of Holy Spirit conviction. The converts that we see comes from this know nothing about repentance and faith. And Jesus Christ, as a living reality to their hearts, don't know nothing about it. They have a head knowledge of it. They know that He exists. They know that He's real. But they don't have any knowledge at all of repentance and faith. And that He lives in their heart. And that He is their Savior. Many churches have drifted so far away from the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing souls to Christ for salvation that the average preacher does not even recognize what Holy Spirit conviction is in his church. And many churches don't even recognize what Holy Spirit conviction is. I tell you, the reason you recognize what Holy Spirit conviction is because you've experienced Holy Spirit conviction. And you've been saved by the grace of God, and you've been granted repentance and faith. The average preacher knows nothing about this. The majority of Baptist churches have adopted this Hollywood style. And that's what's being carried on in many Baptist churches today. Now, In a sense, it does matter whether I approve of it or not, but in a greater sense, the important thing is as to what the Lord thinks about it. I believe, sometimes I see things, I hear of things going on in Baptist churches, and it makes me sick. And I believe, and pardon the expression, I'm trying to say this in terms where that we can understand it, I believe the Lord is as sick as I am about it. I believe He's nauseated. You say, you mean He really does that? Well, turn over the book of Revelation. Now, I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 3, and therein, verse 16 of Revelation chapter 3, you'll find exactly what is taking place here at the church at Laodicea. Now, if the Lord was aggravated at the church at Laodicea because they're just lukewarm, and I'm not saying just lukewarm to mean that's all right, but because they were lukewarm, think about how nauseating it would be to the Lord if a Baptist church began to get about the Holy Spirit conviction and begin to use worldly methods to try to do the Lord's work. Look what He said in verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now the Lord can and does spew churches out of His mouth. He does do that. I believe in essence when you read about the seven churches of Asia Minor, you'll see what He's talking about here is, of course, removing the candlestick, which means removing His special presence. And yet, you can't go by churches getting, as people, the world calls them, bigger and better. A lot of people don't even claim to have the truth a lot bigger than us. Don't know anything about the truth. Don't know anything about salvation by grace. Don't know anything about the Lord's church that are bigger than us. We should, I believe, vividly understand this. That no preacher in the pulpit can draw anybody to Christ. You ought to understand that. We ought to also understand that no deacon sitting in the pew can draw anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to vividly understand that no Hollywood star can draw a sinner to repentance and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we ought to recognize who it is. Draws sinners to Christ and brings sinners to Christ. And we ought not to try to deviate from God's plan. The temptation is this. I don't know how long has it been since you've seen somebody saved by marvelous grace in this church. I don't know that. I know about the church that I pastor. What happens, I'm afraid, many times is the flesh determines that we're going to have something happen. You ever hear sometimes people say about their church, you know, they say, well, nothing's really happening at our church. And they say, we want something to happen. I tell you, if anything happens at your church, it's going to be, that's scriptural, it's going to be because God brought it about. And there's conditions, I believe, upon any people for God to bring even repentance and faith about. There's conditions upon God's people. I mean biblical conditions. I'm not talking about conditions of the world. And what happens many times is it's very dangerous when a church gets to the place, and I always want to see people saved. And don't get me wrong in this. I want to see people saved every church. God will save them. I believe that a church ought to be so such an influence and so witnessing to people that are lost that there would be possibilities, as far as humanly speaking, that people would be saved every time we come to the house of the Lord. But if the Lord doesn't, then we ought not to resort or deviate from God's word or God's way and God's will. We should not deviate from that. And even if it's a long period of time that we don't understand, even we ought to, even
in a more sincere way. We ought to do that which God tells us to do. In His Word, and instructs us to do the church. We ought to pray more. We ought to preach more. We ought to teach more. We ought to visit more. We ought to witness more. I believe this is exactly what the Lord would have us to do. All have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and brought to Christ as guilty sinners before they can ever come to know Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. Now that's just how simple this truth is in the Word of God. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said in Romans chapter 3, and there in verse 19, listen to it. We know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, notice, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And the only way that happens is the Holy Spirit brings people to that place. Now the first thing tonight that I want us to think about is the moving of the Holy Spirit. The moving of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I become disgusted with God's people. What I mean about this is the complacency and the apathy that you see today in many sound New Testament Baptist churches. I'm not talking about false churches. I'm talking about sound, orthodox New Testament Baptist churches. And I know of a certainty that I can't cause the Holy Spirit to move. And I know that you can't cause the Holy Spirit to move. But that shouldn't cause us to be in a state of complacency. There's no excuse in New Testament Baptist churches today when I see the lack of conviction, the lack of compassion. I'll tell you, one of the things I believe most is the Word of God is preached on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and people don't put into practice what's preached. And I believe that's the problem today in many New Testament Baptist churches. Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Now I want you to notice with me there in Genesis chapter 1 and then verse 2. Now I want you to notice, God's never worked any other way than the way that I'm going to bring to you tonight concerning Holy Spirit conviction. God's always had the way of bringing Holy Spirit conviction, and it's the same today that God brings. Now look in Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now notice. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now who moved? The waters didn't move. Who moved? The Spirit of God moved. Or it means the Spirit of God brooded. The earth was empty. It says that. And darkness was upon the whole earth. And the Spirit of God moved or brooded upon the face of the dark, empty earth. Now what happened? And it would not have happened. Verse 3 is the answer to what happened, but it would not have happened if there hadn't been verse 2. Now look what happened in verse 3. And God saith. And what you got here is a combination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's the way it is, beginning in chapter 1 of Genesis, and that's the way it is all the way through the Word of God. That was true in the beginning, it was true in New Testament times, it's true today. And it'll never be any other way. It's God's way. It's God's Word. It's God's will. Now look at this. And God said, look at this. I knew what I was going to preach. We ate with a fellow tonight, and he said, I like a little light. I said, let there be light. He didn't know what I was talking about. other than you, that's verse four half from the scripture, but what I was talking about, what I was going to preach on. God said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. Now what happened is, the Holy Spirit moved, the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth, and God saved. And then there was results. Now if you'll go on, you read the rest of the chapter, how God brought the earth out of chaos and darkness by His Word. Down through there. Verse 3, God said, now you'll notice, verse 5, and God called. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 7, and God made. And verse 8, God called. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. And then verse 14, and God said. I believe what we see here, it was the whole work of the Holy Spirit who took the Word of God and brought order out of chaos and life out of death. And that's exactly what God does every time He saves a lost sinner. That order never changes. He never deviates from that. Turn with me now from Genesis 1. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I believe that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing the Corinthian church, look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and there in verse 4 through 6. Look at verse 3 also. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now look. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for Jesus' sake. Now look at verse 6. This is basically the same thing that happened in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the same thing that God did in Genesis 1. When He saved you, God did the same thing that He did in Genesis 1. Now look at this. Here in 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6, we have a vivid picture of the sinner. He's ruined by the fall. He's hell-bound. You're going to say he's sort of in chaos. You could say he's empty. You could say there's nothing in him but darkness. That's all there is. Man is a threefold being. He has a body that makes him to be world conscious. He has a soul that makes him self conscious. He has a spirit, and that makes him God conscious. But with the light gone out of the inner sanctuary of his spirit, that is the unsaved man, there is no God consciousness in the fallen sinner. And God knows that. You know what he said? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, why is there no fear of God before their eyes? It's because they're not really conscious of God. They know there's a supreme being, but they may think he's, some kind of an image. Some people say, oh yeah, I believe there's a God, but they'll make him a monkey or a cow. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul said, there is none that understand it. In Romans chapter 3, man is empty, man is void, and darkness covers his heart. That's exactly what takes place. The understanding of man is darkened, and the mind is blinded. That's exactly what we read here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 through 6. The only hope for that person is the Holy Spirit. same Holy Spirit that came there in Genesis 1 and 2 and brooded over the first creation is the same Holy Spirit that must come and brood over the second creation. That's man. And all God has to do is say, let there be light. And that's what he does. Because that sinner is blind. He has no consciousness of God. He has no fear of God. He don't understand. And his old heart is dark. And all God has to say, and he does, and the Holy Spirit comes there and broods. And then God says, let there be light. You know what happens? And there is light. And that's when it comes. And there is light. But it is only until the Holy Spirit comes and broods. And God says, that's his word. The word of God. I'll tell you. What does he mean? I believe here in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, he brings it up. And look at this. Look at this again, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. See, the same God. And the way he did it, and what he's talking about is Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And he's talking about the same way that he did it there is the same way God does it to every lost sinner. You see this connection here? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And until God says, let there be light, man has no comprehension, understanding whatsoever what light is and what God is. And the first glimpse he ever gets of what he is beneath. You know, we always say a man has to know he's lost before he can be saved. And that's true. But the first glimpse he ever gets of himself by nature is when God says, let there be light. That's after the Holy Spirit broods over him and God, the Word of God brings and says, let there be light. He can't by any means recognize anything concerning his condition by nature. Till God, the Holy Spirit, broods over God's faith. Brother, oh, that Baptist churches and Baptist preachers would get back to the Word of God about Holy Spirit conviction. And we would rebuke these Hollywood preachers that we have today and these Hollywood churches that we have today that are always putting on a show and deceiving people. I believe it's our responsibility as God called people not only to preach the truth, but I believe to preach against those that have gone away from the Word of God and to point out error that is going on. So just as the Holy Spirit brooded over this old empty world which was covered with darkness, he broods over the heart of sinner and gives that command, let there be light. Brother, every time he does that, there's light. Not a one that he broods over and says that there be light. That there's not light. There is light, just like there was in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 3. So the first work of conviction of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit moves. Or he broods over. But now, that is the work of the Holy Spirit and not the work of some man. And there's where we need to come to our senses. And there's where that we need to come to the truth. I'm talking about me. And I'm talking about you. I'm talking about people that have been saved by the grace of God and believe the Word of God. And we ought not to let people lead us away from this truth of the Word of God. It only takes one pastor to lead a church astray. And it don't take very long to do that. So, the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of man. But when the Holy Spirit broods over the soul of the sinner and takes the Word of God, here's what happens. He opens the sinner's heart, letting the light of the glorious gospel shine in. And that sinner begins for the first time to feel what he is by nature. You wonder, are you amazed sometimes when you go out, and I've mentioned this earlier, when you go out to somebody you really want to see saved by the grace of God, and you go out and witness to them. And you remember back, you used to be the same way. And, sometimes people, you go to witness them, they can be very sarcastic. They say, is there any way I can help you? You know, they hit you first. You know, they know it exactly. They hit you first because they know you're preaching the gospel. They know you're a member of a certain church, and they know you're there for one purpose, and that's to witness to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're interested in their soul and seeing them saved. And sometimes I've had them tell me, say, is there anything I could do for you? And it sort of sets you back just a little. You know, the fleshly aspect, that sets you back. And then, you know, you begin to talk to them, and they say, well, now, you know, I'm still living with my wife. And that's hallelujah. You know, hallelujah for that. Put a mark down there. And then we say, they say, well, I don't go out here and drink. I don't go to the bars and the nightclubs. But that's cool. I'll never condemn anybody for not doing that. Will you? But what it really boils down to is they don't want to acknowledge and will not acknowledge what they are by nature. You know what they are by nature? Paul said, even when he said there in Ephesians chapter 2, when he said, but you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he goes on and says, even as others. Well, in other words, objects of God's wrath by nature, even as others. But man don't recognize that. He'll never feel that until the Holy Spirit broods over. You can tell him about it till you're blue in your face. And you'll never convince him. But I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit broods over him and God saves, he'll change his tune. And he'll not change his tune until... The average preaching today does not produce, and I don't use that word, I mean like we can conjure it up. The average preaching today does not produce conviction because the Word of God is not preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother, that's of necessity. The man of God must be led by the Spirit of God to preach the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has pressed upon his heart for the occasion and for the hour and for the need and for the time that he's there. The average church member today is brought through decision for Christ. Not through and by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are not saved. You bring them through only decision for Christ and not God's way. That's the Holy Spirit brooding over them and God saying, and they're not saved. That's just how plain and clear it is. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Did you know many times we spend more time trying to convince people, sometimes people spend more time trying to convince people that they are saved. I don't try to convince nobody that they're saved. As a matter of fact, if people keep dicking around with me about that thing, I deal with them as though they've never been saved by the grace of God. Because I recognize and know one thing about it. You're not going to be saved at one time. And that's going to be God's time and God's way that you're going to be saved by the grace of God. Now notice the effect of the Word of God preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me now to the second chapter of the book of Acts. Now, I don't want you to get confused here. Y'all just stay with me because I don't want you to believe what I say just because you know me. I want you to believe what I say because it's the Word of God. But I'm saying, you know, hang in. I mean, not only the word hang in there, but sit tight. You know, sit tight here on this truth. Acts chapter 2. See, you pick up those old world expressions. You ought not to do it. I try to wash my mouth out from those things. Acts chapter 2, and notice with me in verse 6. Now, you say, yeah, but this is the day of Pentecost. God didn't work any different on the day of Pentecost than he works today. Now, I recognize that the day of Pentecost that the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were credited and empowered them for the extension of the commission to the Gentiles. I know that. But look what happened here. And I believe that any time, and what we've got to keep in mind and remember, that if we should be content for just the Word of God to be preached under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and rest our case with the Lord, and to raise our case with the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Notice it. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Now the word confounded means confused. Now keep that in mind. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I know they heard them speak in their own language, but what were they speaking? Sometimes we emphasize this, and I think there's a twofold thing here. Surely there was these men that were supposed to be ignorant and unlearned that were able to speak a language they had never studied. God gave them the ability to do that. But I tell you what, that would confound you. But I tell you what else would confound you even more is what they're preaching. And they were preaching. And we overlooked that. So first of all, they were confounded. Now this is the effect of the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a result. That the Word of God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, a result that comes is people get confused. And I said, stay with me. Y'all are looking pretty strange. I said, confused. But that's a word. Because I tell you what, until God works on them, they're pretty well not set in what they believe, the way they're going, what they're saying. And they're going to have to be turned around. And you can't turn them around. But God's Word under the effect of the Holy Spirit can. And you get a man all confused. Somebody said, well, you know, we're witness to them, but they're confused. I say, hallelujah! Now stay with me. Now look, in verse 7. And they were all amazed. Notice, and marvel, speaking one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I believe not only when God begins to work upon a person under the Holy Spirit brooding and the Word of God, I don't believe they not only become confused, but I believe they're amazed. In other words, they are deeply stirred and the fear of God falls upon them. That's an effect of the Word of God being preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 12. And here it bears it out. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying, and they had never said this, had not God worked it, saying, what meaneth this? I believe here they were not only in doubt, but they were perplexed, they were confused, and there was a state of fear. And you can't bring that upon a person. Not a one of you here can bring a person to this condition. The only way that a person will come to this condition is the preaching of the Word of God under the direct leading of the Holy Spirit. That'll bring a person to this condition. The Holy Spirit conviction will confuse you, but it'll also embarrass you. This is the first stage of Holy Spirit conviction being confused. They were first convicted by the Holy Spirit, and then they were convinced by the Holy Spirit that they were sinners. The second stage is in verse 37. They ask, what meaneth this? You ask Brother Titus some question like that, and I think, well, he's going to preach to you. He's going to preach to you. He's going to tell you what it means. And that's exactly what happened here. And they said, what meaneth this? Immediately the Apostle Peter jumped up and he began to preach. And look at the results in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now what kind of heart was that? Same heart Romans 10 talks about. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Brother, before that a person is ever saved by the grace of God, I believe that the Holy Spirit comes and works upon them in such a sense that they are convicted and they are convinced by the Holy Spirit that they are sinners and they are pricked in their heart. What this was, they were goaded with a keen, slender knife that cut its way to the Spirit. Until light of the glorious gospel shine in their heart. And what did they cry? Read it. What did they cry? Now this is Holy Spirit conviction. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, Men and brethren, unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? You know why any man says that? It's because he's already been pricked in his heart. He's already been quickened. The Holy Spirit has already brooded over him. And the Word of God comes and stabs him and pricks him in his heart. It's exactly what takes place. Brother, I'll tell you something. Later on, they were perplexed. You see here, they were perplexed. With no way out. God brings people to the place to where there's no other faith. There's the end of the road. Brings them right down to the end of the rope, and there's no way of escape, and there's no way out. And then they cry out to God. That's where he brings them to. They were cut to pieces by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. They were embarrassed. You know, for the first time, they saw what they really were. And embarrassed. The most brazen person on the face of the earth is a sinner that's never had any light. That has never had any glimpse of what they really are. They'll come out in this church and sit and smooch. Kid to preach in services. Now, I've never seen any here during a revival, but I have known that happening. And they'll do ungodly deeds. But I tell you, and they will not be embarrassed at all. And let me tell you something. Let the Holy Spirit of God brood over them and take the Word of God and cut their heart and open their heart and let the light in. And they'll be embarrassed of what they see. For the first time, they'll see what they are. Then they'll begin to start right then. And they'll say, oh, wretched man that I am. But they ain't never seen that before. And they'll never see it until there's Holy Spirit conviction. And then I thought about how often do we see this today in our churches? So that's what moves me. How often do you see that today in this church? How often do I see it today in the church that I pastor? People today professedly make professions of faith. They just sort of, you know, something they ought to do. Just casually stroll up the aisle and say, you know, this and that, and you say, well, I don't believe it ought to be. I believe, here's what I believe. I believe that the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and pierces their heart. And I believe the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, makes them to see that they're a sinner to the place where they take sides against themselves with God. Brother, what happens is, I believe that you see a repentant sinner. For godly sorrow has worked. For the Holy Spirit has worked. Now, how does the Word of God become effective in the soul, in the salvation of a lost soul? Paul, I believe, makes it clear the instrument that you use. You know, great controversy going on today, you know. And if you preach like I'm preaching tonight, there'll be those that will call me a gospel regenerator. Because I believe that the Word of God used in regeneration as well as the Holy Spirit is used. They'll say, oh, you mean you're a gospel regenerator.
No, I believe in the gospel, but I believe exactly like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
The Holy Spirit broods, and the Word of God pricks and pierces the heart, slays the sinner. It's really
what happens. As the Holy Spirit broods over that sinner,
the Word of God slays that sinner. Exactly what happens.
The Holy Spirit, and I want to understand this. I would not in any way belittle the Word of God, neither would I belittle the Holy Spirit. But what I want to say is the way God designed it to be.
If God hadn't designed it to be like it is, it could have been another way. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit cannot do one thing in the heart of a sinner apart from the Word of God. The Word of God is powerless apart from the Holy Spirit.
God designed it. They work together. And He began it right in Genesis 1, 2. And the Spirit moved. Or the Spirit brewed.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's God's order. God's divine order. And that's the way to argue the rest of your life about it. But that's what the Word of God says about it. And that's exactly how God works today. The sinner must be awakened. The sinner is bold and daring. He will not even consider his sin. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God home to his heart. He brings him to the bar of justice.
Why does a man cry out, oh, wretched man I am? He sees the bar of justice. He sees the divine justice of God.
The Holy Spirit convicts and shows him his condemnation. The Word goes into him and through him and opens his heart.
Then he cries out, brethren, what must we do? Or he cries out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? But it is only, and you'll check all that out. You're in Acts 2 and Acts 16, and you'll find every time the Holy Spirit of God brewed and the Word of God was preached. Before anyone ever cried out, this is exactly the order and exactly what took place. The Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, causes the sinner to see that he's a guilty sinner. Causes him to perceive himself bound over to death. Fills him with fear, fills him with terror, fills him with anxiety, fills him with remorse. Sets him to longing after the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He sees that condition, and then he begins to long for Jesus Christ. He says, I want Jesus Christ more than anything else. And the reason that comes about is because the Spirit of God brews, and the Word of God is preached, and the Word of God goes out. The Holy Spirit uses the words, the means chosen for bringing sinners to Christ, the means used for raising dead and trespasses and sin. But the Holy Spirit work continues. Here's what he does. He drives the sinner out of himself to Christ by faith. Now listen to this. He drives the sinner out of himself. I mean to where he puts himself aside. And he sees himself as he really is and drives him, puts him to Christ. He causes the sinner to sit and listen. You say, I go in and witness to him, can't get the blasted TV off. You know, I'll tell you why you can't. They don't want to listen. And if anything you talk, they won't turn it off. They'll turn it up. And many homes today, you go in and try to witness like them. But I tell you what, when God does His work there, the sinner sits and listens. And that's when we have, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law goes before and condemns the sinner under the power of the Holy Spirit. Exactly what takes place. Then the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ comes with the glad tidings, the good news. The law goes before. Stops every mouth. That's under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then the gospel comes and follows and gives the glad tidings about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The
sinner's mouth stop. He sees what he is, and then he sees Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his Lord, and as his Master. And the soul is prepared to embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. It is the law that condemns. It is the gospel that acquits. The Holy Spirit, who takes the Word of God, sets fire to the sinner's nest. And he ain't at ease any longer. You can just come, but you got to set fire to that nest. And the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, is the only one to do that. Just as content as can be, but I tell you, when the Holy Spirit broods over and the Word of God is preached, and the person gets under conviction, they become mighty restless. You may be that way tonight, even here in this building. But I tell you what, you think, well now, if I can just make it till he gets through, and we have an invitation, and I can make it through that, and I can get home, I'll be all right. I'm going to tell you something, your nest will still be on fire. Because he that has begun a good work in you ain't going to quit. But he that has begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. And you may, through various circumstances, get a what we think a little relief. But I'm going to tell you, next time it comes back, it'll be more severe than it was even tonight. That is Holy Spirit conviction. You'll go home, you'll get occupied, your family and everything, but there'll be something wrong with you. You'll be the hardest person in the world to live with and get along with. And what it'll be is it's because the Holy Spirit's begun a good work in you. And the Holy Spirit's making you see what you are. And he'll put you out of that nest. He'll set that nest on fire, and he'll bring you to the Lord. Exactly what he'll do. Now, what really concerns me tonight is, where is Holy Spirit conviction in our churches? Where is it? Where are sinners crying over sin? I mean lost sinners and saved sinners. We think they ought to be people that are not saved crying over sin. How many of y'all are crying over sin that are saved? And that's just as much, that's Holy Spirit conviction too. Where is it? We like to put it off on the person that's not saved. But what about in your life? Where do we see sinners falling to the dust in repentance? Sinners crying, I have sinned against God. Have mercy on me, a sinner. The Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, melts the sinner's heart. Jeremiah said, the Word of God is like a hammer. It's like a fire. That is, as the Holy Spirit takes it and broods over in the Word of God is preached. Now that's the reason when Jesus, and you know, Brother Pack preached this message in your conference here from John chapter 6, and I thought about this, and that's the reason Jesus came on down and said what he said, and the Baptists need to wake up to these two verses here. I mean, the Baptist church need to wake up this and said, and I close these two verses again I read. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he said, therefore said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him in my Father. Now what happened in the creation? And you know, I like the thing about it is we become a new creation. I preached here years ago from James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begetting us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his preaching. 2 points that I preached here on that. And you know how it all comes about? The Holy Spirit conviction. The Holy Spirit proves, and God saves. And he says to that sinner, let there be life. I pray tonight that it may please the great God of heaven that if you're here and you're not saved, this may be the time that God would work in your heart and bring you to repentance and faith that you've received Jesus Christ. I'm fearful today.
I think look out into the hearts of my people, but I'm fearful today.
And I look at the lives of my people many times. I'm fearful that many of them have never experienced holy, good, and Christian. Brother, I know what happened to me when the Spirit of God began to work and threw it open. You're saved, you did too. He didn't let me go, couldn't get away from him. And everywhere I went, preached right to me. Because the Holy Spirit took it and said, sick on me. And he gave it to me every time. And I thought I was the only person there. And that's the way God works. You're here tonight. We beseech you. And we pray that we praise the great God of heaven that there might be Holy Spirit conviction that would come over you and the lost sinner. If you'd come to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I tell you, and when that happens, he don't quit being through with you then. He don't just drop you after he saves you. However the Lord may be speaking tonight, the Spirit invites you to come. We stand the same, some of us. Brother Titus will be at the front.